G'day everyone, it is Friday, June 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever you are listening. And what a Friday it is, a unique Friday, because Pup joining us in the L Daily chair for the next 3.5 hours is none other than the great Steve Blocker Roach.
Right, you blokes.
At Lowe's,
give
mate,
us an at Lowe's.
At Lowe's. And Elliot's. It used to be Lowe's and Elliot's.
I don't know. They should do.
Hey, boys, 4:10 this morning. I admire you blokes. How do you do it every day? But you know what? I got in here this morning. You blokes are up. It's Friday.
Yes.
Are you the same on Monday?
No chance. Today is my favourite day of the week by far, Block.
Monday
or last night. I was that excited. No, love Loz, but Block, I'm pumped to have you near.
Do you know that song? I can't sleep at night.
Yeah, I know it.
You see that's the red
that's me regularly.
Dressed in
white.
Great to be here, boys.
Mate.
Hey,
did you watch the Under-19s last night?
I saw a little bit of it.
That's where rugby league should be going. We should be putting these guys up front and centre on Fox every week.
Yep.
I loved it. And young Jonah Pezet, now, I watched him play last night, and I got a little bit of an affiliation. I looked after his dad when he first came to Sydney. Would you believe, I know that he played with Parramatta and the Crushers and all that. When he first came to Sydney, we got him to South Sydney. I was coaching the under-23s, and I looked after him at my place. He lived in my house and ate my food. Wonderful young man. And now I watch his son in the under-19s carving it up. I loved it.
And he did carve up.
He did. Good
four
player.
Four try assists. And who does he play? What system is he in?
I know the system.
The Melbourne Storm.
The Melbourne Storm. But you could see.
Who's the 5'8", the number six? He was good as well.
He was good.
What's his name?
I don't know. He's a goal kicker too.
Yeah. Scored.
Scored a little grubber through.
Scored, yeah. It looks like they've played a lot together.
Thomas Weaver.
Yeah,
Weaver.
He was good.
But you could see little touches of Melbourne in Pezet's game. You know, just the way that he straightened up, his kicking game, the way he mixed it up. What about that kick over the across field for the try? Mm. Then the grubber kick. So, mate, I was very excited about seeing him play. And, mate, we should showcase these kids. 19 years old. Do you see the size of him? Do you see him warming up? These are monstrosities.
You know the other thing, Bob?
They're men, aren't
they? It's like Fox have got a footy channel. Rugby, an NRL rugby league. I don't understand why. At the moment, we do a lot of talk shows, like Fox 360, all that sort of stuff. You know, and I don't understand why we do so much of that, but less.
Do you know
of
what
the youngsters like? Even like you think SG Bohr, Harold Matthews, like that stuff to me is ideal content because you can build a relationship with the fans from a young age as well. So I might see a young kid and that just see his name stays in my head. 3 years later, he's now walking out to play for the Tigers.
I used to love going along and watching the under-23s in reserve grade. Now you'd hear blokes on the hill going, "Oh, I see that kid there."
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon he's going to be. But I reckon, Clarkie, it might be a cost thing. I think it is so expensive.
Cameras at the game and
to
stuff.
Go,
yeah,
to
okay.
go. But anyway,
versus in studio. Yeah, cost. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's take two cameras or something. Let's find a way because to showcase these young kids.
Yeah, good point.
Mate, it was unbelievable. I really enjoyed the game. And you know what I enjoyed even more?
The fact we won.
The Queensland is getting rissoled. That's what I liked.
Set the tone.
Yes.
For the weekend, hopefully, the under-19s last night. The women's under-19s, they won as well pretty comfortably. They won 22-6, but it was 32-4 in the men's. And they were men, weren't they, when you talk about. Yeah, you can just tell now how. I remember, like, you know, back when I was at high school, it was like, oh, no, don't do weights until you're 15. And, you know, even then, just be careful. Now it's nutrition when you're in your early teens, really, isn't it?
I reckon
nutrition, weights, the whole box and dice.
The most important thing about, like, young blokes doing weights and all that, I always say if I'm talking to a young bloke, make sure you get taught the technique properly. Because what happens is they go in there and they start, oh, mate, I can lift. Look how much I can lift. But it's got nothing to do with that. What you've got to learn the proper technique to be able to do those sort of exercises and learn properly. Otherwise, you hurt yourself, you know.
Spot on.
Big morning on the show. Don't worry, the Sticky Wings multi, it's in Blocker's hands. We'll reveal that after 6 o'clock this morning. Now, just after 6 o'clock as well, we've got Ben Gardner, who's the Tigers' assistant coach, only been there since, well, late last year. Certainly has some good coaching pedigree. He's also helping Michael Maguire out with New Zealand at the moment. This match against Tonga tomorrow, must watch, 3:20 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, Fox League and KO. And, well, when you look at these two sides, you know pretty much every player, and it is going to be an absolute humdinger.
The problem is when these sides play each other, and when you look at it, there's some huge men, some huge humans playing in the game. But look at the halves. That's the thing you've got to look at. If you're going to be a Tier 1 nation, you've got to have good halves. Amone is a good player, plays with St. George, and they've got Katoni Stagg. So, yeah, I think Tonga, it's got to be, mate, imagine the bruises after this game.
Look at that forward pack.
Oh, we've got Fisher-Harrison, Papalihi, Bromwich, Joseph Tarpany, who I said the other day is the best front rower in the game. He's playing lock forward, but middles play exactly the same way now. Mate, that's going to be a bruising affair. I can't wait for it.
And we've got Robbie Dolan, jockey and musician, of course, now. He's coming up before 7 o'clock. We've got Adam Pengilly after 7. Brad Davidson, get his mail for the weekend. And one of your old sparring partners after 8 o'clock this morning, Blocker, someone who you had many a battle with in the 80s in particular, Greg Dowling.
Oh, no. I'm scared already. I love playing with him, but not against him.
Tough.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just always...
Mate, he was as tough as an old boot. Don't worry about it.
As soon as I hear his name, I just always... The first thing that comes to mind is that fight with Tomati.
Yeah. Well, he was going good in that because they were fighting on the field too. I was in that stink. It was my first test. I was jumping in. They were all into Greg Dowling. I ran in and I thought, you're playing for Australia. You better grab one of these blokes. So I grabbed this bloke, but all week it was Kevin Tamati, New Zealand boxing champion. I'm going, mate, don't grab him. But I couldn't see who it was. Oh, and I grabbed this bloke and he turned around, mate. He signed me head. I was saying it about the other day. Lump, 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 lump. Anyway, they got sent off. And and what happened was Greg was walking off and sort of pushed him towards the tunnel to go first.
Yeah.
And, mate, Kevin Tamati just backhanded him like that and she was on. And he was going all right until he slipped. And then the Liverpool kiss came in. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Mate, it was war on the side. Mate, it was unbelievable.
I've seen the video plenty of times. There was a lot of people
in and around it in those days that, you know, you didn't dare jump in there because then the whole 26 would go off, you know. Even the benches would come in. So, yeah, he was a little bit unfortunate. He slipped, but, mate, what a warrior. And a protector of the great King Wally Lewis. Mm. And I'll never forget him. I'm going to ask him today too. We played the cricket ground one day in the pouring rain. Do you remember this?
Is this when he scored the try off the crossbar?
Yeah, off the crossbar. The ball hits the crossbar. He catches it. I thought, you arsey bugger. How did you do that? It was pouring. Anyway, it'd be good to talk to him. I haven't seen him for a long time. We toured together and he's a tremendous bloke. And, mate, he was tough as you like.
How are we feeling about Sunday night? Just looking at the market with Tab, the Blues just continue to firm. Yesterday $1.68, now $1.67, but it opened just after game one. The Blues $1.85, Queensland $1.95. The Blues are into $1.67. The Maroons are out to $2.25, the line 2.5, New South Wales the minus. So for all the commentary, discussion, debate about Brad Fittler's changes, it seems like certainly the punters pretty happy with what he's done.
They generally know, don't they? The blokes that do the markets, do they?
Are we living in saying,
you know, New South Wales were red hot favourites in the first game. They got their duds pulled down. They didn't turn up for the game. I don't really understand how you can't turn up for an Origin game because you know what it's going to be like. The expectation, there's no thoughts about, you know, you go to bed the night before and thinking, oh, well, this is just going to be a walk in the park. Yeah. It doesn't happen. Yeah. And they got ambushed in the first game. So, looking at the side and a lot of changes, I reckon the punters might have got it right. You know, if they don't come out desperate, can you imagine the fans and people who follow the game and follow New South Wales, what they'll say about it? They need to come out and make a statement.
I'm sure they will, though.
I'm pretty confident they will too, but you've still got to do it.
We've got to remember game one, we lost, we were favourites, we were at home, we were 1 metre from scoring at the end of full time.
Yeah, but mate, hey.
1 metre.
Hang on. It was 16-4, right? If you look at the game, 16-4, and I'm a New South Welshman, I'm not going against them, but, mate, I thought 16-4 when I was there watching the game was probably more a reflection of what the game and how it seesawed.
I think we all agree Queensland were better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've just got to see that response, don't
we? Zio won't get knocked out in the first minute this time.
That was a huge factor.
Huge. Mate, he was walking around dizzy. Mate, where's the concussion mob then? Yeah, why didn't they take him off?
Well, we had plenty to say about that, that's for sure.
Wasn't a good look, that's for sure.
Now, cricket overnight, well, tonight, England-New Zealand, we'll get to that score during the scoreboard update. But, Clarkie, yes, some news with the Australian side. Travis Head is out of tonight's fifth and final one-day international. He's got a hamstring strain. He's also in doubt for the first test starting next Wednesday. They're saying Josh Inglis will probably make his one-day international debut tonight. He's played a handful of T20s. He's certainly a player the selectors like. But Glenn Maxwell has been added to the test squad because when you look at our backup batting options in the test squad, it's pretty much only Mitch Marsh or Josh Inglis.
Oh, I think it's a good selection. I think it's obviously disappointing for Travis Head. Hopefully his hammy's not too bad. But he's certainly out of the one-dayer. And from listening to Aaron Finch yesterday, it sounds like it. He might struggle for the first test. But I actually think Max is a good replacement for Travis Head because he offers, yes, the batting. He plays spin well, but it's that bowling option as well. Mm. I think it still allows Australia to pick their two spinners in Lyon and Swepson, but then they've got the advantage of Glenn Maxwell or Travis Head, one of those two. Manus Labuschagne, Smitty, I think his quad sounds like he's going to be fine. He's batting in the nets and he's doing some light running, so I think he'll be fine for the test. And then you can also use Davey Warner if he needs to bowl some part-timers. So I think it's a good selection. And again, it's based on conditions. So I would imagine if Travis Head doesn't come up,
he'll play Maxi.
I would play Maxi. Yeah, I think it's the perfect swap based on conditions. You need someone who can play spin, and bat in the middle order. He's obviously a very good fielder as well, Maxi. But most importantly, he can bowl some of those handy overs, pick up a couple of wickets for you.
5 years since he's played a test. Played seven tests. His last in Bangladesh. Yeah. Back in 2017.
Again, conditions. I think it's smart selection. You pick on conditions. If his test mate, if it was in Australia, for example, or South Africa, I think it'd be a completely, or England, completely different conversation. But I think knowing what they're going to produce in Sri Lanka, we've seen in the one day as the wickets have spun. Maxi plays spin pretty good. And like I say, he'll be handy with the ball. Well, he's picked up some handy wickets in the one days.
No, certainly has.
Mitch Marsh.
Yep.
Finally, how come those guys are in and out of the side all the time?
Yeah, it's a good question, Block. I think that, well, this is the thing. I think Mitch's talent-wise is very clear to see. Bat, bowl, field. He's had a lot of injuries through his career, and he probably hasn't grabbed hold of his opportunity in Test cricket yet. 2020s and one days, he's come really good. In the 2020s, he's been one of our best players in the last couple of years. So he might just be getting that to that age now where he knows his game a lot better. But if he does get a crack, it's an awesome opportunity for him. Him and Cameron Green really are fighting for that number six position. I think that's the right spot for Mitch and Cameron Green. So at the moment, if he gets an opportunity by somebody else being injured, it's the chance he's been looking for.
So when you were Australian captain, I don't know the answer to this question. That's why I'm asking it. Yep. Did you sit on the selections? Did you?
I did it at a certain stage. I was a selector, and then I got off the selection panel because you're one of five.
Did you put yourself off it?
I did, yes.
Why? Because you were getting a bit of curry
because
from
I had,
the players?
I had one vote out of five. Yeah. And generally, you'd spend hours and hours on selection, not get what you want. So you're accountable anyway as captain. So I said, instead of wasting that time in selection meeting, where I'm not getting the player that I want or players that I want, I'd rather be training or with the boys and trying to improve my game or their game.
See, when we tried to get Pup on the Tigers board, this is why he said
same,
no.
Exact same thing. I'm happy to be accountable, but I need accountability.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say you're accountable, go do the media and put your hand up, the team lost, when I didn't have any say. I didn't get the team I wanted.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, leave me out of that. Let me just go and play and score more runs.
Well,
and
a lot of people are saying to me about getting on the board at the Tigers. I go, mate, I don't know anything about boards. I'll tell you what, bud, I've got some contacts. No, put me on trying to get some sponsorship and all that. I'll go and do that, but I don't know anything about boards.
Well, people get to a stage of their life where, you know, sitting down for lunch and having a 2 or 3 hour meeting is exciting. For me, I couldn't think of anything worse. Unless we're getting a result, I haven't got the time or the energy to be going to lunch every day and talking gibberish.
And having some cut sandwiches and all that sort of thing.
No, thank you.
Front page of the Daily Telegraph today. These hookers are a match made in heaven. There's Damien Cook and Appy Corrissau. And, on the back page of the Herald in relation to those two, under the headline, Blues hope Cook will enjoy Appy days too. And Denny Badiris, Blues assistant, is saying that basically, we'll argue they're taking a leaf out of Queensland's book, blocker from game one in playing the two hookers. But I think there was a realisation as well amongst the New South Wales coaches that the Origin game now is just so quick that playing one hooker for 80 minutes is just about not feasible anymore. And that's a big reason why they've brought Appy Corrissau into the side as well.
You're always going to find a reason why you do something.
Yeah.
I think it's plain and simple. I think, and I said it yesterday, I think they'll beat at the ruck, at the play the ball. As I was mentioning with Warren Ryan, if you win the ruck, you win the game. Mm. Appy's a better defender, in my opinion. I think Damien Cook's a wonderful runner of the footy, but do you get those sort of opportunities in State of Origin to run the ball with markers down and all that sort of stuff? I don't know whether you do, and I don't know, and I'm not a selector or anything, and I don't know whether I would have went with a hooker on the bench. But anyway, they've done that. And look, I'm sure that a bloke like Happy Corrissau and also Damien Cook can play 80 minutes of footy. I reckon that's just a furphy, and I think it's a throw-off. Mate, if you...
We're gone with what's worked for Queensland. But
yeah,
the other
that's
thing,
all right.
The
that's other, all right. Yeah, Plagiarism's good.
That's exactly right. I don't think it's a bad thing. But my only fear is, again, the two New South Wales hookers are not the two Queensland hookers. Like they're four,
and they're different players,
they're four very different players. Mm. So that's my only concern. Are we trying to create what Queensland have done? But have we looked closely enough at the fact that it's because of their style of play, the Queensland hookers, that they can play like that? And that's obviously why Billy Slater decided to start with Ben Hunt.
I reckon it boils down to quite simple, that they ran harder. I mean, you can talk all these tactics you like. They wanted it a little bit more than New South Wales in the first game.
Yeah.
You know, have a look at Carrigan and all those sort of blokes. Welcome back Cotter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Those sort of guys.
They're going to miss him, Ruben Cotter.
They'll miss him. I'll tell you where they'll miss him, the kick chase on Cleary. He puts so much pressure on him, and he's so athletic. Get out from that second marker and charge him. I don't know who's going to be in charge of that sort of area. Well, yeah, that sort of area. But I think... I think Cotter, when I watch him, he's got really good footy IQ. I think he knows and been taught well and well-educated by Toddy Payton, who, mate, he's the next big up-and-coming coach. Yeah, don't worry about
you've
that.
You've said that for a while, mate, Brock. You like Toddy, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. I think
you know,
he's very clever.
I remember having a conversation with Brad Haddon. He's great mates with Toddy. And he must have been like assistant coach or something at the Tigers years ago, even coaching the juniors or something like that. And I remember Brad Haddon saying, mate, Toddy Payton will be, I'm telling you, a great coach.
Yeah, he is. I see Brad Haddon too. What a great bloke he is.
Yeah, good fella, Hads.
I'll tell you what.
He's over in Sri Lanka, I think, commentating the Aussie games.
I got a bit jealous, but because we live around the same area, and they were calling him the Putney legend.
And no accolade for you. Yeah,
nothing.
So you've had to hear, you probably walked the cafe.
Oh, there's a Putney legend. Putney legend. I go, he's a good fella, mate.
He's a beauty.
Tell you what, he's a very generous bloke too.
He's a good fella. Good fella. He's a good footy player.
Was he?
Yeah.
Halfback, 5'8".
I think he played both, half and 5'8". Yeah. He played for...
See, Cowboy,
I get it
originally?
Wrong. Yeah, he played for Queanbeyan. I don't know if it was Blues or Ruse. You'll kill me for getting it wrong.
Yeah, the Putney legend. You're going to tell me. Derby. I bet he's one of those guys that's good at everything. Is he?
He's good at most things.
Right, not everything. Good.
I'll leave it there, Block. He's good at most things. Yeah, he's talented. He's like, you give him a footy, he can kick it, he can pass. You give him tennis racket, he's...
Golf?
I tell you what he was. He was the quickest runner in our team. There you go. Speed over 100 metres.
Was he?
Hads was the quickest.
Wicked keepers.
But he's a keeper, so he's dodgy, man.
Yeah. He has his Mel Meningas.
Yeah, not great. He's broken just about all of them. Yeah, he's a keeper, he's dodgy.
Also back page of the telly today, Clearway, Dubbo Duo vows to protect star half. Protect Nathan Cleary is a big catch cry of the Blues heading into Origin 2, and Isaiah Yeo and Matt Burton say that they'll be two of the men to do it on Sunday, and I can't wait to see Burton play in Origin. I just think he's made for this arena, blocker.
I think he is. He won the Centre of the Year in the Daily M's last year. But I think, and I was talking to Laurie about it yesterday, I think he's an out-and-out 5'8". So, I don't know. If you had a look at it last year with the Penrith side that won the comp, Luai at 5'8", him in the centres. But watching him this year, I know the Bulldogs haven't been going that great. The last couple of weeks they've gone well. But he's been their best player.
100%. If he had a dominant half next week,
mate,
please. He would...
Depends on the blokes you play with. Mate, have a look at how good Greg Dowling was that we got on the show today with Wally Lewis and Gene Mitner.
The other thing with Burton, which is going to be interesting to watch, is he has a player option at the Dogs for 2024. Hmm. If he doesn't take that up, he's on the market November 1. Yeah, he's contracted next year.
They've got some good players coming.
Yeah, I reckon he'll start. I reckon he's going to stay there for a long time. I reckon there's something. And again, never met him, don't know him. I reckon there's something. He seems like one of those kids that is... Like, I reckon he'll be loyal to the bone. I reckon he'll stay at the Dogs and be one of the players that has significant impact in getting the Dogs back to where they
You ever been next to him? You ever seen him?
He's bigger than you think, isn't he?
Is he? Like, taller? Or
maybe, and solid, and he'd be 6'3", easy.
Mm. Really?
He's a big man. Big man, yeah.
The thing is, though, Pup, he signed, now as we look at it, he signed for unders at the Dogs because he signed early last season when it wasn't clear he was going to get a regular game at Penrith.
Yep.
And then they had, I can't remember who had the injury, but he obviously filled in the whole season, ends up Dally M Centre of the Year. Yep. So the Dogs are going to have to significantly upgrade his contract.
But I think they will.
But Gussie Boy can put you under a spell. Yeah. The genius at it. He's a warlock.
Yeah. Convince you of anything, Bock, you reckon?
I reckon.